Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody in Zoom will chat with you. Anybody in the first 30 days?
Hey, Vic.
Welcome. Welcome. Anybody else? Hey, Harvey. Welcome. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we will be discussing steps 5, 6, and 7. We've got the trio. Please welcome our panel this evening. We've got Calvin and Leslie. And I am going to read the first paragraph on page 72, and the panel will each share for a few minutes on the reading. And while I do this, y'all can fight for who's going first. How about? All right, steps 5, 6, and 7. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. And 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. On page 72, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the 5th step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason is first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives, trying to avoid this humbling experience. They have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory, all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Which one of y'all go first?
You want me to go?
Sure.
I'm Calvin, alcoholic.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. I have a home group. Downtown Young and Sober. They meet on Thursdays in downtown Norfolk. I get there when I can. Work has me away a lot. I have a sponsor who I call regularly. I have a sobriety date. That's January 16th, 2018, kind of, somewhere around there. The fifth, I was really nervous when I did my first fifth step. Because I mean, like I said, people just kept things to themselves and they got drunk. Right. And so I was sitting there and I was driving to my first sponsor's house and I was like, really shit in my pants. I was like, did I forget anything? Cause I was nervous that I was hiding something from myself, because I'm really good at lying to you, but I'm so much better at lying to myself. I'm so much better at keeping things, internalizing them, and just saying none of that was an issue. I didn't need to worry about any of that because, you know, that really wasn't that big of a deal. So in my whole life, I had done that. And it's really hard to talk about five without talking about four. And that's really just an inventory. So I was at the Hampton Roads Tattoo Convention in 2018, somewhere around there. And I was working on my fourth step. And I saw my ex there, and I had not seen her in like 6 months, and it did not end on good terms. And so I was having a panic attack as I'm driving from Hampton back to Norfolk to my house. And I did what you guys tell me to do. I called a guy, and this guy answered, and he was like, "What are you doing right now?" And I was like, "I'm driving back. I can't fucking breathe, dude." And he was like, "Sorry for cursing." And he was like, "All right, meet me at this Dollar General on Newtown Road." And I was like, "All right." And so this dude walked me into this Dollar General, and he said, "What do they do here?" And I was like, "They sell things." He was like, "Yeah, but what do the people who do here or who work here do?" And I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "You think they just sit behind the counter all day?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "They take inventory. They realize what's selling, what's not. They move good items to the front. The bad items they throw out. You know, they make sure that the bread in the front is the newest, freshest bread. And that's your inventory," is what he said. You know, it's writing down the things that work and things that don't. That is what you get from that. It's called an inventory for a reason, because you find the things that work for you. And that was really just mind-boggling. I was like, "Oh shit," you know. And so I went to my sponsor and I told him everything that I knew. You know, I did the four columns, and those first three were pretty easy. "I'm really mad at you. Why am I mad at you? You know, who are you?" My part was a little bit harder, but at that time I was pretty depressed and just thinking about myself a lot, so I could look at you very easily and tell you how terrible I was. But what it affects was hard, because it was always just fear and money. It was the weirdest thing. I had never realized how scared I was until I did that, and put it down on paper. And this grown man looked at me and he said, "Yeah, you know, that looked a lot like mine, you know." And these things that I was expecting him to like just shame me for, these things I never told anybody, he was like, "Yeah, that's you got anything else?" You know, and my second sponsor, my current sponsor, when I did the fifth step with him, it was just the craziest experience, because he told me things that he did, and I was like, "All right, dude, here I go. Yeah, that's nothing." And it was just, people say it was like a relief. It was like a weight being lifted off their shoulders. I never got that. I just kind of got the sense of continuing to go, you know. I realized that this wasn't the end, and I wanted to see where it would take me, because I just didn't want to end there, you know, with somebody knowing everything about me and then not seeing the good part, because that was just, you know, a little scary. Thanks. That's all I got.
I'm Leslie. I'm alcoholic. Hello. Yeah. My sobriety date is May 31st, 2008. And I've had one of the worst days I've had in a very long time. So in a sense, I'm so grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous and like the ability to show up no matter how I feel, you know, because before I got here, it was all about how I felt, you know. And when I got here, one of my friends was like, "Oh man, do you want to go and get somebody? I'll get somebody to talk for you." And in my head, I went, "Yes, that is a great idea." And you know what came out of my stupid mouth? I was like, "No, this is what we do. I'm here now." And I was like, "What?" You know? And so like, if anybody's new or anything, that makes no sense. And I know that, but I'm telling you right now, like whatever I said, like that wasn't me. The fact that I still showed up. And the coolest thing is I didn't think of any excuses on the way here. You know, like I thought I was going to be late and I wasn't doing that. Like, well, it's this thing's fault. You know, no, it's my fault. You know, I took a nap, but, you know, I love AA. AA is like saved my life. So if I don't say anything else, and like, if you're new and we're talking about five, six, and seven, you're just like, if you're anything like me, you're going to be like, you know, because I'm like, I'm still like that to this day. That first sentence, having made a personal inventory, what shall we do about it? And I'm like, I don't know. What are we doing? You know, and that's why sponsorship is important, because if, as he was talking about the inventory side of it, those stupid ass columns a couple pages prior to this, I'm like, what is this? I don't like it. I just remember complaining all that. I don't like this. And my sponsor was like, fine, start from your first memory and just start writing. I say, okay, I can do that. And I still have my first inventory, and literally it's like preschool section, like 7 to 9, whatever the ages were. And then I just started going by grades, you know, and then I went back to my age. And that's how I wrote my first inventory. And then that second sentence kind of cracks me up, because it says, we have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. Did y'all know y'all were doing that? Because I missed that boat. Like, he just read that and I was like, that's what we've been trying to do. Like, oh, okay. I'm glad I was the last to that party, because that sounds like nothing I want to do when I get here. What I wanted to do was feel better. And what I found was that I have alcoholism, you know, but the cool thing is like this step, it was the first step that gave me freedom. You know, it was one of the first spiritual experiences I ever had. And it helped me learn that I earned this seat and I am an alcoholic. And then as we kept reading, like it talked about, you know, like if you don't do this, or whatever it's called, our experience says you'll get drunk. I did it and I still got drunk because I didn't accept I was an alcoholic. You know, like I'm telling you, when I got here, it was all about how I felt. I just wanted to feel better. You know, but I was like doing the work and I was doing it to the best of my ability, but I just still had all these reservations inside of me. There's something different about me. You know, like I was in Elizabeth City, no offense. It was a retired military. It is a retired military town. There's so many like people in there, like they're probably just, they were just in their 60s back then. But like, I thought they were like 80 something, you know, and like they, whatever, they talked about like nickel pitchers, and I was like, what time were you drinking, sir? You know, and I was just like blown away by this, and like I just didn't relate and I didn't want to, you know. But I just had so much fear about like, what is my life gonna look like without a drink? Like, I don't know how to act, I don't know how to do anything, like I don't know how to celebrate, I don't know how to make you feel like shit and make me feel like not shit for making you feel like that, because that's my excuse, you know. But that inventory, when I did it, I didn't have a chance to think about it. Like, and I'm really grateful. I didn't know the point of it. You know, like what I thought the point was just to like get the yuck out. Like, okay, I'm going to tell you some secrets. Here they go. But what I've learned now, and this took years for me to see. So if you're new, really hold on to this. Like, we're going to talk about defects and we're going to talk about like uncomfortable things, like, you know, my selfishness and my self-centeredness. But guess what? I just learned a few years ago, there's a flip side to that. Like, yep, I have defects, but I also have assets, you know? And that was something I did not think I had when I got here. And that's something to this day that I still struggle with. And it is really hard, at least for me, to realize like I deserve good things, you know. I deserve to set boundaries and like stick up for myself and just like be honest with the people around me. And somehow, you know, this inventory allows me to get to there. And that first inventory I did, I called my sponsor because I finished it. And I was like, okay, I don't know why I think I talk like this. I don't know. I felt like I talk like you, Ethan. like I was like, hey, I'm done. That's my Ethan impression. And look, I still do that. Like, I'm feeling uncomfortable right now, so I have to like bring humor into it, because like I'm scared you're gonna get to know me. Like, that's a huge part of my alcoholism, is like, all right, let me put on this front, you know, like let me be some like fake whatever, like, so you don't get to know me. And that's another thing I'm working on too, is like I've got to let my walls down. And that's what this step really did, because I called that lady, her name was Robin, she saved my life, and so did her family. I called her and I was like, hey, I'm done. I guess I sound like me now, not Ethan. And she's like, great, I'm on my way over. And I was like, wait, what? You know, and I did not have time to think about it. She literally was at my house within like 20 minutes. And I tried to talk her out of it. I was like, I don't have coffee here. I didn't drink coffee yet. She's like, that's fine, I'll bring my own. I was like, oh, And then like, and then I was thinking like, okay, I'll just leave the house. And I was like, oh, there's only one exit and we're going to pass each other, you know, like small ass town. So I just like stayed there and she came over and we sat on my couch and I read my story because it was legit a story. And we paused right before the big one, right before the big secret. She's like, you need a break. I'm like, yeah. And I wasn't paying attention or else I would have tried to like slip it in there, you know? And then she's like, are you ready to get started again? And I just looked down. I was like, are you kidding me? This is where I'm at. Like, this is the sentence I need to start off with is, I think I'm gay. You know, that's what I had to say. And like she was, I just sat there in absolute silence. Cause like, I'd never said this before. And she was just like, just go for it. And I still just like sat there. And then like, I finally like go to start talking and I'm just trying to like micro machine man this. And I just like kind of glanced over and she's just like sitting there nodding her head. I was like, she even listening? Like, you know, I'm like, this has death and wait for me. And like, this is, you know, and like, there was no judgment. There was no nothing. You know, she literally sat there with her stupid ass cup of coffee that she brought and just like listened and like paid attention and like showed me love that I didn't know I needed, you know? And at the end of it, she said, how do you feel? And at the end of it, I had like all those secrets. That was the biggest one. I don't even remember the rest of them. The rest of them weren't even secrets. It's a stupid ass shit I do when I'm drunk and a brownout. I love a blackout. Brownout, I cannot stand when I come out and I'm like, oh, I'm doing this. You know, like back into it. Like, that's fine. Like, or like I park my car in ditches or bodies of water or I say something to you or, you know, things like that. Like, that's what I thought, you know, those big secrets were, but it's like the motives behind my thoughts and my actions. Like, it's like the things that drive me, the defects, you know, those are my secrets. Those are what I can't see by myself. And that's what I need help doing, you know, but I remember when we were done with it, like I finished my story and then she took my notebook and she put it in columns for me. She didn't tell me that's what I was doing, but she was like, all right, hey. And she just started writing and she wrote everybody's name that she heard. And then we talked about why I resented them and then blah, 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 blah. And then they just like did the columns and then we did the fear inventory and it's all in her handwriting. You know, I didn't know like through telling the story, I'd actually done the inventory like the book says. It just needed to be rewritten, you know? And like we did the sex inventory. I did all the inventories in that first one. And once we were done, like, I don't know if y'all have this or not, but like I have this like pit in my gut and it just is empty and it's hollow and like that's where I exist. You know, and once I was done with that, that was a little bit more full. It hadn't completely left me, but I felt something leave me that night. And I was just like, oh my God, this is magical. I've never felt like this. And like somebody accepted me for who I was. Like she knew it all, you know, and she still accepted me and she hugged me and she said, how do you feel? And I said, I deserve a drink. And she's like, you're one of us, and walked out, you know, she's like, take your quiet time. And like, that's my experience with like that part of like telling my story. And it is truly one of the, like the things I hold on to in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I just wanted to feel better. And that night I felt better. So I stayed for a little while longer, you know? So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bo. All right. Our next reading is going to be on page 73. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes those memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension. That makes for more drinking.
Hi, Calvin Alcoholic. Yeah. So I had a guy show up at my work. I'm in the Navy, and he got out like 5 years ago, and I hadn't seen him since I got sober. And he knew me right as I was like falling off the deep end. And then he transferred and he just came back. He's out now and he's a tech rep. And he saw me and all the guys that work for me are standing around. He's like telling these stories about me. And and I was like, God, you know, and it was genuinely embarrassing. And it hurt to hear. That was like 3 days ago. And I don't like, these are things that I haven't thought about in five or six years, you know, that is no longer me, you know, that is not the man you see today, is not the guy who walked in here at 20 years old. That's insane. But what he remembers is that punk kid, you know? And it's just not how I want to be remembered. You know, it's not how I want to be looked at. And I know that today. I know that I can be better than that, you know? And sometimes I don't know that, you know, I still wake up and think I'm a shell of a human being. You know, I still wake up and see this scared little kid who's hiding, you know? And it's terrifying, you know, sometimes, not usually, but sometimes that happens, you know? But I found an answer to that today, which I never realized that I needed. I didn't even know that was a problem. You know, like, I thought everybody just stared at the ceiling at night, you know, and thought about their impending death at like 7 years old. I thought that was normal, you know, and it is to you guys, but not to like normal people. They're like, what the fuck's wrong with this kid? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I realized that when I found you guys and that fear and tension that makes for more drinking. I was just so grateful to find people who thought like me and who drank like me, and accepted me for like being me. I was just a mean kid. I was miserable to be around, you know? And I had people just saying, hey, keep on coming back. And I'd show up to meetings drunk and just angry and talk. And they were like, yeah, yes, this is great. This kid's kind of funny, you know? And you guys just have to keep coming back, you know? And I wasn't scared to tell anybody what I had going on up here, you know? There were certain things that I was like apprehensive to, you know, but I wasn't scared to make you judge me, because this is nothing that I wouldn't tell you when I'm drunk, you know? Nothing that I said in my fifth step is nothing that I would say when I am just bragging about all these terrible things that I've done, because it makes me look cool, you know? But the shit that I won't tell you is how I feel on the inside, how scared I am, you know? And that's through God, you know what I mean? Really through building a relationship. That's how I found that. And that all starts with being honest with myself and somebody else. Thanks for letting me share.
I feel like I touched on these two paragraphs in the video, but what I was reminded of is, of how I used to try to cover up my drink. Like, I'd try to pee, like I'd wake up, you know, like sometimes in shock, like, where am I? Where's my car? And then I just feel like, oh no, like that self-loathing and self-pity, it was there all the time. And that like hatred towards myself. And like, oh God, I hated that. So I wanted to feel better. And I remember I'd call people and be like, hey, yeah, about last night, you know, like trying to piece the story together. Like, oh, sorry, you're going to be out later, buy you another drink. Or like, cause I was thinking like my whole motive behind that is like, I'm going to need something from this human. Okay. That's the only reason I ever did that, you know? And then guess who got tired of it? This girl. Cause I'm like, dang, I'm tired of calling Brenda. Dang, I'm tired of like figuring out who that like shadowy figure was, you know? Dang, I'm tired of it. Like, I just got tired of it. And then I accepted like, man, this sucks. This is my life, you know? And I'd have those brownouts and I'd have that incomprehensible demoralization like every day. Like, and when I'm sober, it's just heightened, you know, like that hatred is just like heightened. At least when I black out, I don't know what y'all do, but I don't even know what I'm doing. It's pretty amazing. You know, the stories I would get told, I'm like, 7 hours of shenanigans, like that my inventory probably would have been a lot longer if I didn't black out so much. Yeah, real grateful for that in this moment. But you know, like, that's all I feel today is like when I think back about that, because I know I'm not that girl, you know. He knows he's not that guy, and that's a gift of Alcoholics Anonymous. And like, shut your ears if you don't want to hear this, like becoming a part of this, you know. But for me, I didn't even have to come a part of this. All I had to do was like take the steps, and I felt a little better, and like things started to happen for me. And like the I don't deserve this, I have like little stars by that in my book, because like I don't think I deserve this. And it was really hard for me to accept that, you know. And like when I would start to feel good, I'm like, can't do it, gotta go. I don't know what like happy, joyous, and free and serenity. I don't even know what those words mean. I probably never even heard of them until I got here. But like, I know what like shit show is, and I'm comfortable in that, you know, like that's what I know. And that's, I can't, I don't know how to do this life that y'all are doing so well, you know? And so I'd run, I'd have a feeling and I'd run, you know, and then I'd come back because I didn't know what else to do. Oh, the light came on and I came back to AA, you know, and that happened a couple times. But I don't know what changed, and it doesn't even matter, but like something changed, and like I realized I deserve this. And instead of being like excited about that and like wanting to be of service, all I did was be angry. All I was angry when I got here. You know, people met me at Downtown Young and Sober a long time ago, and like, oh God, yeah, y'all were there. Crap, there's two people in here. And like that's how people describe me. And like to this day, I know when I start to feel angry, and that's the first thing that comes to the surface, there's something I need to work on, because that's not who I am, because this inventory has changed me. Like I see who I am as a human with this and the things that drive me. And it's scary, because guess what? There's more steps and I still saw the same stuff. And that's what really got me to change. You know, like they knew a drunk like me needed to see it over and over. You know, like, oh crap, I'm at 10 and I'm still selfish. Like, what's this? Like, and then it started to eat at me. Like that little pit got bigger and it was back. And I'm like, ugh, you know, like, ewy. I don't want to feel like this anymore. You know, and the cool thing is like, I don't have to. But when I didn't have a solution, like that last paragraph said, like, I don't like how I feel. And that's what motivates me to drink, because that's the only solution I know. You know, this step, my sponsor, like this program, it gave me a different solution. Like it gave me the tools, like something else to pick up besides a drink. And I didn't know that was going to be a thing. You know, I really thought I was going to come to one of these classes because I got a DUI, and like I thought that's what it was at first. You know, get my paper signed. I'm like, they'll teach me how to drink. You know, there'll be something out there. You know, like, no, I never wanted to drink like a lady. Like, I don't even know what that is. But like, I'm so grateful, like really, I'm so grateful that I was slow to the gate with this to like actually realize like what I was doing. And I'm grateful I still have my inventories, because like I get to see the evolution of like the woman of dignity and grace that I am. Mm-hmm. I know that I don't like uphold that every day, but like I know that I have the capabilities. And when I know I'm not where AA has brought me, like that is what starts to eat my lunch. I know I need something to happen. And the cool thing is like I'm not that scared to talk about it, but sadly I do need some pain to like want to change, you know. So anyways, that's what I got with that.
Thank you both. All right, next reading is going to be on page 75. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe.
I was at a meeting last 2 weeks ago, and there was a Q&A afterwards, and it was a newcomer meeting, and somebody asked, when did the urge to drink leave? And the guy who was speaking, he was like, I have no idea. He was like, one day I woke up and it was gone. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, maybe it was around 5. No, maybe it was around 8. Genuinely have no idea. But I know that this probably helped. I didn't pick my first sponsor. He picked me. And I didn't particularly like that man. But he saved my life, you know, and I'm forever grateful for that. And I'm grateful that he made me feel comfortable enough to be miserable enough, to take this step, you know, and to give it to him, you know, and he didn't judge me, and he was just open about it, you know, and he shared some of his same experiences. And the whole God thing really showed up around here too. I used to do a lot of other substances other than alcohol, you know. I really liked experimenting and like seeing where my mind could go, you know. But that's kind of where this whole God thing it came to be for me, you know. It was really about just becoming one with nature and becoming one with myself, reuniting with what I want to be and who I can be, you know. And it wasn't until I took this step and really looked at my part and everything and how selfish and how scared I was that it really started to work. And the sponsors would explain that to me. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we were so different. I did outside issues just to see if I could get away with them. Just to be like, let's see if they notice it's Tuesday at 2:00. Like, yeah. Like, you know, like I was never trying to expand my mind. Again, I was trying to feel better and just like, yeah, and be okay with myself. Mm. That's what it all was about. From when I was like this tiny little kid, man, my skin never felt like it just never felt right. It didn't fit, nothing. Like got the wrong size. Like who knows, man. But like I know because of this, like I'm okay with what I've been given. You know, that's the gift of it. Is like those fifth step promises. I love them. I'm so happy we read them. I'm so happy there's little promises out of this whole book, you know. And I'll just share real quick, like my favorite one, and I had to get taught this. When I was 2 years sober, like I emailed, because I'm dramatic, I emailed my friend, like, I want to kill myself, you know, and she called me the next day. And you know what's crazy about this story is like this girl has young, like she had multiple years when I got here, we were buds, and like she's not even sober today. Mm. You know, that's the stuff that is like the strangest thing, like people who like pay, I feel like the majority of the people who paved the way for me, like they're not here. Mm-hmm. And yet I am. And like, that's just nuts, you know, cause like a person like me doesn't deserve this, you know, but like, yeah, here I am, you know. And Nicole B would be like rocking like a hurricane. Like we used to like joke about that in meetings. We'd hear somebody say like a lyric and we'd want to finish it. You know, I think she's in here, right? And she's one of those people, you know, and so are you. So are you. And, but like that girl taught me that day that, you know, I've recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. She's like, you know what that means? And I'm like, no, like, why would I? It's me you're talking to. Again, not trying to expand my mind on anything, just trying to feel better. You know, and she told me that I've got a mind that's trying to kill me and a body that won't die. And I'm like, oh my God, that's going to be my life. I'm never going to get out like how I want to get out, you know? And like, I need to accept this spiritual help. And I'm so grateful, like my sponsors tricked me and they just like fell into line, thank God. And they took me in. That's what happened. I was like a little lost Sarah McLachlan commercial. And like people were just like, okay, we'll take this one. You know, like I needed a whole team. And I'm so glad that they did that for me. Cause I don't know if I ever would have had like the courage or whatever it is to be like, hey, can you sponsor me? Can you help me? Because like, again, like I think I can do this on my own. But like my favorite promise out of this whole thing, that middle paragraph on 75 is like, we can look the world in the eye, you know, and that is a gift. Like, thank God cousins in here. Cause I'm like, I'm okay with cousin. Like I can look at you, you know, I can look at multiple people in here and like be okay. I've looked at my feet a lot. I'm not wearing shoes out there. Took them off. You know, but like, I used to know what everybody's shoes look like. I was so uncomfortable and just did not know how to connect with people. I didn't want to connect with people. Like what y'all aren't gonna like me when you really get to know me, you know. But I go back to that moment on my couch and I remember this so perfectly. Like that woman's just sitting there just nodding her head listening to me, you know. And like that was just like the start of like me starting to accept myself and like knowing like it's out there. Like unconditional love is out there. And I had like a horrible conditional love type of experience today, you know, and like that hurts. It hurts a lot. But like I've been able to talk about it on like multiple different layers today. And that's not me. And like the cool thing is like all these feelings that I'm having today, it's not motivating me to like go hurt myself or run. That's it. That's what I wanted to do today was run. I was like, yep, here we go. I'm so excited. Where's my corner gonna be today? And then I was like, oh, I don't have one here yet. I've lived here for 3 years and I don't have like a hiding spot. And I'm like, dang. And I'm like, that's actually kind of cool. You know, and the thing I did is like, I text my therapist and then I called somebody and like, I could not believe like through repetitiveness and in the AA, like it still works for me today. I always fall back on those foundations, you know, man. And like, that's so cool to be able to sit up here and be like, I am kind of very proud of myself. One, for how I spoke back to my mother or spoke to my mommy, you know, and like two, I know I don't have anything to make amends for. And like three, I didn't run. Like, I'm just sitting here and I'm like facing my day, like what's next? And like, I learned how to take, I took a nap. That's me taking a whole big like leap of taking care of myself today, you know? And that might sound very little, but like, that's something huge for like a girl like me, is just to learn how to take a nap and just like take a breath. So there's lots of promises in this book for anybody who's new. And you know, I'm not going to ruin any of them for you, but one of my favorites is what we just read is like, I can suit up and show up today and I can look you in the eye. And like, I hope that I have shown someone over the last, however long it's been, like just like a little bit of love and tolerance and like some unconditional love, because that is all I have ever been given in these rooms. I am so sad today. I'm done.
Thank you, girls. All right. Next reading is also on page 75. Returning home, we find a place where we can be quiet for an hour, carefully reviewing what we have done. We thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better. Taking this book down from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first 5 proposals, we ask if we have omitted anything, for which we are building an arch, for we are building an arch through which we shall walk a free man at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand?
Yeah, I didn't do this the first time I took the steps. this one took practice. I couldn't even sit alone with myself for 5 minutes, let alone an hour, let alone reflect on something that you're telling me to reflect on. You know, the ADHD is strong with me. But over time, I've come to respect this more and more and more. Kind of working in my daily meditation into this, you know. I look at my day, I look at my life, you know. And what they're asking you to do here, they're asking me to do, is saying, did I leave anything out? You know, be reflective with yourself, be reflective with myself and say, hey, this is a very serious thing. You said you were going to do this completely, you know. Are you doing this, you know? And to the guys that I sponsor, I give them the option, like, do you want to go home and sit with yourself or do you want to walk to the beach? And they're like, what? And I was like, you got to go take an hour somewhere, man. And I was like, you know, because when I take the steps very rapidly with the guys I sponsor. And so they usually they're like, I'll walk to the beach. And so, you know, I live like 8 blocks from the beach. And they're like, which way is it? I'm like, that way, go. And they're like, you know, and they come back. The one guy came back and he was like, yo, I sat there and I saw this crab and it was trippy, dude. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, talk to you. I was like, all right, man. Yeah. But I get some weird stoners. But yeah, I genuinely, the last time I took the steps, this one really hit home with me and reflected on what I have been and what I want out of life. You know, this inventory that I set down is my entire past. And how I have reacted and reacted. And how do I want to go about that? You know, and how can I do anything about it? And the truth is, I can't. If I could have done anything about my character defects, if I could have done anything about the way I reacted to these situations, I would have done it, you know. And it isn't without the help of a higher power and through prayer, meditation, and genuinely acting my way into right thinking, doing the next right thing. That's where I get from this, you know. And that is genuinely important, and I wish I had done it sooner when I first took the steps. I just don't think it was physically possible. Thanks for letting me share.
Powerful little para. I finally realized like what I wrote on the side of this. I wrote thorough, but I thought this always said thoughts until right now. I'm like, thoughts, what am I thinking about? And then I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, grateful to be in here and learn more things, I guess. But you know what I like about this one is I didn't ask myself these questions. I'm like, mortar without sand, what are we doing? Like, I was way too literal the first time I did this. Like, I was like, all right, be quiet, Leslie. Are you comfortable? I'm like, not really. You know, I'm like, ugh. Like just making myself uncomfortable because like I thought I had to do it right. Thought I had to do this right. You know, I'm going to mess up and I'm going to get drunk. You know, what's cool is like the next time I got back to the step, because like shortly after this, I got drunk again, you know, and then I came back to the step. They made me do it again. I don't know if your sponsors will be like that, if that if it happens to be your experience, but that was mine and I was mad. That made it on my next inventory. And then I remember I was so like calm and at peace, I guess, with this, you know, I fell asleep and I woke up. I was like, you ruined it. Way to go. You know, it's like, I can't win. You know, I just cannot win with myself. But the point is like, I'm willing to grow along spiritual lines. And like, I remember being not in partnership with any sort of God when I was right here. I don't know when I met God. I know I have a God in my life today. Like I can't pinpoint the day like that obsession left, because if I did, I'd ruin it. You know, I really would. I'm like, oh, you feel good, you know. Oh, you have a God and you're connected and blah, 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 blah. You know, don't talk about that, you're gonna look like a weirdo. I love that conversation today. I love it because there is a power within me and I can't explain it, and it's done miraculous things for me. But more importantly, it helps you guys out, because like I'm not that girl I was when I got here, but like I have freedom today, and it's because of these steps, and it's because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I love that part. We shall walk through a free man at last. That is all I wanted. I didn't know I was like shackled up before I got here, and like I'm the one that like put them around me. I didn't think like a drink could control me like it did, you know. And here's the super scary part, is that's only a symptom. There is so much more behind it, you know, and we get to look at that too. And that's like what the defects really are. Like that selfishness is what drives me. That like I want what I want when I want it. That's what it is. And like for me, man, I just like what alcohol does for me. Like I do. Like when I drink, I feel something inside me and I'm ready. I am ready. I'm ready to be drunk. I can't feel my legs. Let's drive, baby. Give me your car keys. Let's go. We're not taking my car. We're going to take yours. Selfishness, you know, like something might happen. Let's take his car, you know, but I want to be the one controlling the situation. Therefore, I'm going to drive. But I don't know. I know that like I have the ability today to like check my motives when I want to, you know, and that's huge for me. Like I know that those character defects don't drive me. And like, I have that freedom. I had it from the first moment I took this step, you know, like none of that stuff controlled me, and all those secrets, like all that stuff, that is what drove me to drink, because that is what I needed to cover up. And that is what I didn't want to feel, you know, that's what it was all about with me. So anyways, I'm grateful to not like have that bondage of self like I did for like years. And like, if I don't do this work, like I can continually have that if I choose. Like, how miserable do I want to be? You know, I've heard people say that before, but I get that shit. I get it today, you know. And I don't know. That's all I got for this little one, because here comes the meat and potatoes.
Thank you both. Right on page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing.
Willing. So a lot of my character defects were, what's the word? I just had it. They were selfish. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, they were defense mechanisms. You know what I mean? It was lying to... That's how I justify myself, right? But some of them were. It was lying to make you not see me. It was stealing because of food insecurity. It was all these things that I could justify to myself. But the truth is, I didn't need to have those anymore. Like that's all comes from fear, and it all stemmed from me being insecure. And I didn't really realize that the first time I took these steps. Because I looked at a lot of them and I was like, yeah, you know. Fear is a big one, but lying, you know, sometimes you need to lie. Sometimes you need to be dishonest. Sometimes it doesn't help to be honest. You know what I mean? But honestly, if I'm saying honest a lot, if I could do anything about what, like I said, anything about my character defects, if I could do anything about the way I acted, I would have a very long time ago, you know, and I wouldn't have these continually pop up in my life, but there's nothing that I can physically do about them. It's all God, you know what I mean? Because at my core, I'm a selfish, self-centered human being who will rob, steal, and lie almost every chance that I get. I still do it to this day. Like I'll lie. I'll have this like a short conversation, and like the guy at 7-Eleven, he'll be like, "Hey, how's your day going?" I'll be like, "It's really good." That's a lie. You know what I mean? Or they'll be like, somebody at work will be like, "What are you doing this weekend?" I'll be like, "Oh, I'm probably going to drive over here." I had no intention of doing any of that, but it's all to keep you at a distance. You know what I mean? But very less do I, you know, steal large items from Walmart or steal things out of people's purses or prescription pills. You know what I mean? That's all kind of gone away. And genuinely just trying to be a better human being and trying to get closer to God, trying to be a good father, trying to be a good husband, trying to be a good employee, all these things that I'm actively trying to get towards, you know what I mean? And with the help of God, hopefully I'll be a little bit better tomorrow than I was. Thanks.
Selfish, fearful, change, self-centered, huge ego / prideful, lazy, short-tempered. This list was provided to me from my sponsor when I was about, this is from Harmony. I lived in Greenville, so I was like 4 or 5 years sober. There has been many things added to this list, but I thought it would be smart of myself to write some of them down. I was like, yeah, keep going. I should remember this stuff. And I remember doing it. I was sitting in my car because I was dating this girl. I didn't want her to hear all this stuff because she was like the fourth, the column, you know. But like we get to this and like I have a part in this. And there's been more added to this. And it's kind of funny because I'll think of the word later and just like blurt it out. But yeah. But there's this little book called The 12 and 12. Mm. And there's a whole chapter written on step 6 in case nobody knows what I'm talking about. It's right. It's not over there. But I can show you a little one. That's right. If y'all need one. But there's a whole chapter written about it. And I'll tell you what, I had a big issue with step 6 when I started sponsoring people. When I was doing this solo, you know, just being sponsored, I was okay with step 6. But for some reason, when I got there, I didn't have much experience with it. With my first set of sponsors, they were just like, yep, so there's 6. And I'm like, okay, great, moving on, you know. And yet when I'd sponsor people, they'd be like, so what's up with 6? And I'm like, yeah, I don't really know, this is all I did. And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, oh god, did I do it wrong? And like I'd get in my head like thinking this big elaborate thing, 6 and 7, you know, in case we don't get to 7. It was Jerry up here with his nice hair, like the first year it's when I lived in Greenville, he came and spoke, and he just said, man, if they needed more about 6 and 7 in the big book, they would have wrote it. And I was like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like, it's okay, you know? But like, I have that list of defects, you know? And like, I love that last sentence. If we cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. I was clinging to all those things and didn't know it, you know? Because again, like that's what I knew and that's what drove me. And like, I didn't have different tools. And like, I love the 12 and 12. It says the word willing all throughout that thing. Like, all I have to do is be willing, man. Like, I didn't have to think I was an alcoholic or accept I was an alcoholic yet. I really recommend doing that. Works a lot better. But I just needed a little bit of willingness, and there something sparked a change in me. You know, that's all I needed to get this deal going was just a little bit of willingness. Mm-hmm. So anyways, that's all I got with step 6.
Welcome. And guess what for y'all? We've got enough time to read the last one. You guys can each wrap it up for about a minute or so.
Yeah.
All right. Last reading, also on page 76. When ready, we say something like this. My creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7.
Yeah. Willing. I mean, that really is what it comes down to. You know what I mean? Willing to continue on with the steps, willing to give up these things that I've had for so long. And that's a scary thought. It's scary to continue with the steps after this, because then you get to, you know, facing the things that you've done and being wrong. So here it's really just saying, I had it, you got it, you know? And I don't want it anymore. Thanks.
Yay. What did you just say?
I had it, you got it, we don't want it, something like that. It was good. I don't even know.
Something, go back. Can we get some other? Dude, that prayer sends me. Like when I was new, I'm just like, yeah, okay, reading it, whatever words, you know. And now that I read it, I'm just like, yes, please take all this crap from me, like good and bad. Like I don't want these defects inside of me anymore. I don't want to be that girl because that's the stuff that like drives me. That's the stuff that creates the yuck and like that just keeps me stuck. You know, I do need some strength and like I don't know what I'm about to go out and do, but I know I need some help, you know. And again, I love this book. It's called 12 and 12. They have a whole chapter written about step 7. And I don't know. There's just like, that was written after the big book. And it's about their experience that they had with the steps, you know? And like, I love that in Alcoholics Anonymous, I've never had to do anything alone. And I just got a little bit mad at myself. I was like, wow, through all your stuff today, like, I don't remember like talking to my God, but I knew before I got here, I needed to. And like, I hit my knees. Like I went all the way to the floor. I couldn't even like perch up. I was like full blown in my bathroom floor. And I don't even know what I said, you know, but the point is I was willing. And like, I had something to turn to. I wasn't lost. And it gave me some strength. And I just listened to some music and like, I wasn't stuck in my head, which is wild on the way here. I didn't think about like, oh God, what are we going to talk about? You know? Like, I know I asked to, like, just suit up and, like, be present where I'm at. And that's a gift today from Alcoholics Anonymous because it's you guys put my hand in God's hand. And, like, that's what this whole deal has turned out to be about for me. So I am grateful to be sober today. I'm grateful to be asked to be of service still. And, yeah, so thank y'all for being here and helping me stay sober tonight.
Thank you. Let's thank our speakers tonight. All right, we're gonna go ahead and pass the 7th treats that every group's rent and other while contributing and other expenses. Apparently, I needed to start in the middle of the sentence. The 7th tradition is essential at every level of aid. It is both a privilege and a risk for groups and members that not only there but also their
Alcoholic David.
Hello.
It's too early to announce this, so I'm not announcing it. But over on that flyer, you'll see some sort of sky blue flyers for the next event that will be held in this room in June, June 5th. What would be really cool is if some of you guys would take a few with you back to your home groups so that we can get the word out. All are welcome on June 5th, but I'm not talking about it now. It's all on that flyer. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Anybody else? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or are in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands.
Woo.
Literature is available right there. I'm supposed to point that out on that table. If you're interested in a book, please see any home group member and the pamphlets you can take. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I'm running on very little sleep. So sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you to not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. And if you're shy, you can always send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt cam provided and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella on Colonial Avenue, right next to Kogan's Pizza. It's about half a mile up on the left-hand side. In closing, let's thank this wonderful panel again. And after the Lord's Prayer, everybody will have a chance to come up here.
Admit your faults to him and to your fellows, clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge through. May God bless you.
Thanks for being. We have a nice way of closing.
Yeah, we do.
Circle up, make a little circle or amoeba, because it's usually more like a weird janky looking circle.
Okay.
Right, it is an amoeba, perfect. All right, quick moment of silence followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's it in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into.
Not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. But in the kingdom. Power and glory.